It's been a minute, and I know that two Wednesdays ago, I said that we were going to kind of do like an unofficial little like series on Thanksgiving and kind of reclaiming it, and we are. But it's been a weird couple of weeks. I think that's the safest way to put it. I think it's been a weird couple of weeks. And so tonight, what I wanted to do was take a look at this just really simple-ish concept and just kind of see where it takes us. But it still starts from a place of thanksgiving. But like I said, it's not your typical, like, I'm thankful for the sunshine. So I got two words for us tonight. I got resting and I got running. And I got two passages to look at, and they are passages that I have preached from multiple times. We're going to connect a dot here that, I don't know, like I knew it. Like I knew this was true. This wasn't some groundbreaking thing for me, but I had just never put the two together, I guess. And so tonight we're gonna do that. And I'm going to be honest. Part of what I think y'all need to be thankful for, but also careful with, is kind of where this came from. So, any of you, like, I know some of the adults do, but any of you, I feel like I know the answer to this, but do any of you students, just like, you listen to podcasts? Y'all do? Okay, cool. Most of you don't, I would assume. But I feel like anybody and everybody that has social media, when you start scrolling, you get those little clips. You get a reel, you get a whatever, and it's like a 30-second clip from a podcast of some sort, and you start seeing these little nuggets. So, have y'all ever been scrolling and you see something that looks Christian, sounds Christian, teaches Christian, but you look at it and go, something feels a little off? Like, it looks Jesus-y, it sounds Jesus-y, it's talking about the Bible, but what they're saying and what I feel and believe just doesn't really mesh. Y'all ever been there before? Yes, no, maybe. Like four people. Cool, thanks. I want to be clear, because I'm normally the old guy that says you need to cut this stuff and get it out of your life and everything else. I want to be clear. There is a lot, like, just an absurd amount of really good Christian content out there. Because the reality is social media is not going to go away. Like, I was thinking about it the other day. And back in 2007, when I first showed up at college, and Facebook had, like, in the last, I don't know, last year, year and a half, it had blown up from being this thing that only Ivy League colleges had access to, and then it became this, like, global phenomenon, right? But Facebook was something that you could only access from your computer. Like, it wasn't mobile yet. Like, these things were still new. And so, like, you literally would just be, like, in your dorm room and be, like, is going to a concert tonight. And now you look at it and go, wow, that dude was a loser. Like, you look back at, you know, your 2009, 2010 Facebook post and go, ew, who was that person? Because that's not what it's even used for anymore. Instead of dying, this thing has exploded, and Facebook's kind of lame and made a comeback and then it's lame again. And you've had Twitter exist and then die and then sort of come back, and now it's just disgusting. You've had Instagram be born, and it used to be just pictures. And then it became kind of the gateway for TikTok and everything. And so social media is not going anywhere. So I can sit here and tell you all, like, hey, delete all the apps. It's good for your brain. Hey, delete all the apps. It's good for your brain. But you're not going to. So the reality is there is really good Christian content. There's just also really bad content that disguises itself as Christian. And it's conspiracy theories, and it's false teachings, and it's blasphemous, and it's heresy, and it's just not good stuff. So you have got to be able to navigate that world. You've got to be able to navigate, what does that look like? And so I want to, in a very weird way, get us from that to tonight's, like, kind of main point. There are lots of places for you to come face to face with Jesus. You can pick up a physical copy of the Bible, and you can read this physical copy of the Bible, and you can get the words of Jesus. You can hang out with Christian friends. And this sounds weird, but y'all can discuss the Bible. I don't mean to sit there and go, in the book of Leviticus, it teaches us. But y'all could, in theory, talk about stuff you've read that was encouraging to you. You could. You could get the word in that way. You should, I hope, if you're paying attention, realize that if you're here on Sunday mornings, you are getting the word very well handled by Pastor Brian on Sunday mornings. I do my best on Wednesday nights. But you also have this thing that is just this horrible distraction that is rewiring your brain. It is literally brainwashing you, and it is a terrible thing. And I really do mean delete the apps. It's good for your brain to just delete the apps. But you're not going to. And so since you're not going to, here's the cool thing. The Lord has purposes in all things, and the Lord is able to work all things for his good. And so the Lord has even been able to infiltrate this brainwashing nonsense called social media. And there's really good stuff in there. But what does our enemy love to do? He's known as a liar and a deceiver and a manipulator. So what does he do? He doesn't come at you with worship the devil, social media. He comes at you with false Christianity, social media. Well, how do you know the difference? How do you know somebody's voice? When you pick up the phone and you hear a voice and you just know, like, I know it says the name on the phone, but like, if you didn't see the name and you just picked up the phone and you heard somebody's voice, how would you know who it was? Because you know them, like you know their voice. Like, I know you, I know your voice. And it's the same thing here. How do we know truth in a world full of lies? We have to learn his voice. We have to learn what his voice sounds like. So when it's a lie coming across, we know. We can tell the difference. And so I want to be clear. I would love for you to delete all social media and free your brains from that nonsense. I would love it with my whole heart, but we're not going to do that. I know we're not going to do that, so let's just move on to, fine, we need to learn how to navigate this thing. But in that, we need to stop and be thankful for the fact that the Lord has used this weird thing called social media and turned it into a way for you to get the word in a very different way. You can get it in video form. You can get it where it like pops up. Like you got all these different ways. You got like every famous pastor in the world has he's on a podcast somewhere somehow. And so you can get good, solid biblical teaching anywhere and everywhere. Now, how does that tie into tonight? Because I think we are called really to two things. I've always believed resting and running. I'm just going to put the two together. Until a couple weeks ago, I was just scrolling through because it's addictive. It's what social media is. And I go to like check a notification, and then an hour later I realize I'm still on there because I'm just like you. I came across this one, and it was Tim Tebow. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm a football guy. And so I see Tim Tebow, I'm like, what's old Timmy boy saying today? Like that's just how I am. Like, I may not agree with it, because sometimes I don't agree with Tim Tebow's doctrine and theology. I think he's a football guy who loves Jesus. He's not a Baptist preacher. It's like there's times where I'm like, Tebow, don't really agree with that take, but like I love your heart and your passion, right? Like I can still support him even if I don't necessarily agree with his teaching. I wouldn't invite him to come teach to you guys that what he just said there. But in this video, they asked him about rest. They're like, we hear like you have this like really cool like concept on rest. And he said, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy. I think it's biblical. And he just laid out, he said, first of all, I believe that rest is absolutely biblical, but I believe that rest is not kicking your feet up and watching football. I don't believe that rest is you vegging out playing a video game. I don't think rest is going to the beach having a vacation. That's a vacation. He said, yes, there is physical rest where you just take a nap. There is physical rest and emotional rest where you just take a week out of school and go on vacation. There are things we do, sure, but that's not biblical rest. And I was like, what? What's football boy here going to do? And then he just explained it. And he said, biblical rest is rooted in Jesus himself. The rest is not found in kicking your feet up. The rest is found in being in the presence of the Father. The rest is not found in relaxation. The rest is found in Jesus. And so when we see biblical rest, that's not like, hey, go on vacation. Biblical rest is resting in the presence of Jesus. And I thought, okay, I get that. I get what he's saying. And I've been thinking about it, and it won't get out of my head. And then he also connected it to running, and we'll get to that in a minute. But this idea of resting in Jesus, I was like, yeah, like, I get that. I hear what he's saying. But the more I thought about it, the more like, I don't know that I had really given that thought. Because while I'm clearly not in good shape now, I've been an athlete my whole life. Like, it's just what I did. Like, I trained year round. It was just one sport to the next. That's just what I did. And when you're training, you also have to include what? Rest days. You have to. Your body can't handle going 24/7 for an entire season. You have to have rest days. You have to have days where you shut different things down. Pastor Brian ran a marathon the Saturday of DNOW. The week before the marathon, do you think he's running big runs or small runs? Small runs. He's in rest mode. He's in keep the legs moving, but don't get anything tired so that on Saturday you got a full tank to go. So there's this like athlete's idea of rest, which is, okay, cool. I go work and then I kick my feet up and I just don't do anything. Right? Like that's kind of rest mode. You just shut down. That's not what Jesus ever did. You Bible scholars in the room, when Jesus rested, what did Jesus do? It always says it, and Jesus blank, and it's always the same thing. It may look a little different, but it's always the same thing. What did Jesus do when he needed a break? He what, Callan? He prayed, but there's always something before he prayed. What did he do? He's with everybody. He what, Matthew? He goes away. He gets away from the noise. He gets away from the routine. He gets away from all the stuff. And he goes not to kick his feet up and enjoy some beautiful sunrise in Jerusalem. He goes and he gets away and he just spends time praying. And he spends time thanking the Lord and asking the Lord. Like he asks the Father for things and he thanks the Father for things and he just spends time and he quotes scripture and then like it's like you can tell like in his prayers, scripture's coming back to his mind. And so you see him pray and then you see him quoting Psalms. And it's like his rest is not in the solitude. His rest is in being alone with Jesus. His rest is coming, not he is Jesus. His rest is being with the Father. You see the difference there? Like, it's not that he's taking a day off from the disciples. It's that he's intentionally going and spending time with the Father. And so kind of with that in mind, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, which I've preached probably four times since I've been here, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden or burdened or weary or whatever your version says, and I will give you what? So wait a minute. Come to me, this is Jesus talking, and I will give you what? So where is the rest coming from? Jesus. He doesn't say, take a vacation and I will give you rest. Take a day off and I will give you rest. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And in verse 30, I think I did, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's still action in this rest. This isn't sitting staring at the wall doing nothing. The rest is not found in doing nothing. The rest is found in Jesus himself. Like, that's what Jesus teaches us. Jesus teaches us that rest is found in him and in him alone. You can get sleep. And you can get, you know, a nap. And you can kick your feet up and let your legs heal after you had a really hard leg day working out. Like, you can do those things. You can be training for a marathon and then take a week to kind of coast, right? You can study and 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 then take the test and then take a couple of days and just not do anything academic. Like, you can do all those things. And are all of those things like earthly rest? Absolutely they are. Are they important? Yes. Do I encourage you to find ways to shut it all off and shut it all down and rest weekly? Yes. But is that what Jesus, is that what the Bible teaches us is biblical rest? No. Biblical rest is me coming to the Father and saying, I just want you. And so we need to kind of reclaim this idea of rest and take it back from this worldly rest, which, yes, it is important. And understand that rest is not found in doing nothing. Rest is found in the Father. And so if we develop this idea of, okay, I'm exhausted. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally exhausted. Instead of just shutting everything out for a night, instead of, I'm just going to turn my phone off, I'm just going to listen to music, and I'm going to make it so loud that I can't think anymore, I'm just going to veg out on my phone and just like scroll and not think about anything because it's too hard to think about. I'm going to play a video game so I can't think about it. I'm just going to keep myself so busy or so distracted, so whatever, I'm just going to rest in my distractions. No. I'm not going to rest in my distractions. I'm going to rest in my Savior. My rest is found in Jesus. He's the one who promises rest when we come to Him. And so I want to be really clear as we go through these last few weeks where it's just been tough. It's just not been a great couple of weeks. In our county and surrounding counties, like there's just a lot going on in a lot of different ways. And I know some of you are more impacted than others, but I know that for everybody, like, man, it just gets old, right? It's just like every day is just more of the same. Like, I'm just tired. Well, I want to encourage you. I think we go and we rest by just shutting everything out, and then we walk away from it and go, why am I not better? Like, why am I not stronger? Why am I not, like, rejuvenated? Like, why do I not feel rested? Well, because we're resting in something empty. If I rest in a vacation, or I rest in just mindlessly scrolling so I don't think about what happened at school today, or if I rest in a video game for 7 hours and don't sleep, if I rest in whatever my distraction mode is, well, I may have stopped that for a little bit of time, but I didn't really rest. There was nothing pouring back into me. And that's the difference, is when we rest in Jesus, He is pouring back into us. You ever heard the saying, you can't pour from an empty cup? Like, if Rylan's cup is empty and I go bring my cup and I'm like, here, Rylan, but my cup is empty, am I actually helping Rylan? It's great that, like, I want to help him. He's like, oh, thanks, you want to help me, and then my cup is empty. Am I actually doing any good? I can't pour out of an empty cup. If I feel like, man, my cup is empty, and I just go from an empty cup and just go kind of sit in the corner, well, I may be resting, but am I getting anything out of this? Is there anything getting poured back into me? No, of course not. So rest in Jesus. But I want to challenge you with kind of the last thing that old Timmy Tebow said in this video, this clip. He said, I want to challenge, rest has a purpose. He says, because yes, we're called to rest, and that is very biblical, and Jesus commands us to rest. But He calls us to rest because He also commands that we run. That we run. Like, we should be tired. We should need rest, because when we're not resting, we're running. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, super fast. Again, I've read this, taught this before. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want to challenge you to rest in Jesus, but I want to challenge you. You should be resting in Jesus because you're exhausted, because you're running for Jesus. That's what this life should look like. And we should be running to win. I think the problem is we're just running to survive. Like, we're just kind of running, like, you know, there's a difference between you got to run a lap for PE class and you're running for a track meet. PE class is like, all right, fine, whatever. I'm just going to kind of jog this and joke with my buddies the whole time. Whereas if I'm trying to win state in the 100 meter, I'm going everything I've got. I'm going to train. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to eat. I'm going to surround myself with people who are like-minded, trying to accomplish the same thing, that are going to push me to greatness. I'm going to do everything I can to be the best that I can. And when my feet hit that track, I'm not just out there in survival mode. I'm out there and I'm going to beat everybody near me mode. That's what Jesus called us to do. He said, run this race with that sense of desperation. Run this race like you're trying to win. Don't run this race just to get through it. Run like you are trying to win. Run like you're the one that wants to be there at the end, and they go, hey, good job. You're the one. You got here the fastest. You did this. Like, because we know that we're not running in our own strength. We're running in the strength of Jesus. And so this is where the life kind of balances itself out. I run with absolute desperation and intensity for Jesus. And guess what? That's hard. If I go to school tomorrow with just determined that I'm going to run my race for Jesus, I'm going to sprint, I'm going to give all that I can for Jesus, by Sunday, I'm probably going to be tired. I'm probably going to be worn out. I'm going to be emotionally, spiritually, mentally exhausted. Because what happens when you're running this race is that there are things that start to distract you and things that start to weigh you down and you start to get attacked. Because I'm just going to be really honest with you, we have a God who loves us and we have an enemy who hates us. And so when Christians start to run hard, things start getting thrown at them. And so I may run and run and run and run and run, but there's going to come a moment where I'm going to have to rest. And I need to make sure that I'm resting in Jesus. But I'm not resting just to sit back and rest. I'm resting so that I can get back to it and I can run some more. And so we run not just to survive, we run to win. We also don't run aimlessly. We don't run aimlessly. We need to be intentional. And so this is where I go all the way back to all the social media stuff. It's not enough for you just to hang out with and see everything and read everything and hear everything that says it's Christian. I can't just blindly start living my life and hope that Jesus makes it work out. We don't aimlessly do this. We're intentional and we aim. And here's the cool part. Where do we find our rest? In who? In Jesus. Can we go back to chapter 9, 24, 1 Corinthians 9, 24? Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the what? The prize. What's our prize as Christians? Heaven, eternity. But what makes heaven heaven? What? A personal relationship with who? With Jesus. So now let's make sure we get this. I'm supposed to rest in who? But who is also the prize that I'm running after? Oh, man. It's almost like God knew exactly what he was doing. You rest in me, and then you run with everything you have, not at some arbitrary finish line, not at goals that you set for yourself. You run to me. And y'all haven't had to do this yet, but I have. When you are training a child to walk, you've got to give them a target to run for. You know what the best target for a kid learning to walk is? Dad. Mom or dad. It's just how it is. One parent starts with the kid and one parent's down there, and you drop the kid and you say, all right, go. And they start waddling and they fall. And if they're waddling for a cup or a toy, they may waddle and fall and cry. But if they waddle and fall and mom is the prize, dad is the prize, you know what they often do? They get their butt back up and they keep walking. See, it takes us a minute to figure some of these things out, but God gives us these just incredible things where he says, listen, I want you to rest in me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I promise you rest. If you are in me and you learn my voice and you listen to my truth, I will give you rest. You will rest in me. You will feel better. You will be better if you're in me. That does not mean that your life is going to be better. It does not mean everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. It means that you internally, you find rest in me. And then, as you run, run to me. Run to me. And what's cool is that he always puts himself exactly where you need to be. So if I'm trying to accomplish all my goals, I may miss Jesus. But if I'm just trying to reach Jesus, guess what he almost always does? He puts me exactly where I need to be for school, for my friends, for my family, for my job, for opportunities to share the gospel. The more I pursue Jesus, the more he begins to put me in the places I'm supposed to be anyway. And so there's this really cool just kind of circle of all of it tonight. I think it's the last thing I say. Yeah, just we rest and we run. And the cool thing is we rest in Jesus and we run to Jesus. Well, that just sounds all churchy and whatever. Yeah, it is. It's kind of the point. God gave Adam and Eve everything so they could just enjoy him and all of his blessings and what he gave. And then we kind of messed all that up. And so here in the redemption, he says, hey, I'm going to come to you and you can rest in me. And I'm going to go before you. So all you've got to do is run to me. How many of y'all stress and worry and feel like, I'm not going to say that you're diagnosable, but that you have anxiety about your future? Like, you worry about your future, whether that's who you're going to marry, where you're going to go to school, what you're going to do. Like, you worry about your future. Okay, let me tell you this. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what to tell you. Good luck. I got nothing for you. Don't come to me for college advice. It took me 7.5 years to get one degree. Not for bad reasons. I was just indecisive. I'm not great at the advice. Except, I can make you one promise. If you will rest in Jesus and you'll fix your eyes on Jesus and he is where your eyes are, all the rest of it's going to work out. Exactly as he wants it, according to his will, according to his purposes, according to his plan, and for his glory. I can't guarantee you how to get your eighth grade plans to come true. I can't. I deal with that every time we get to these seniors that have had plans since the seventh grade, and they're like, I'm going to be a vet. And then they're a senior and they've failed every science class. I'm going to be a vet. No, you're not. Let's pick something else. I don't know. I'm not your dad. I can't do that. The one thing I can consistently tell you from sixth grade through 12th grade and into your 60s and 80s and however old you end up being, if you will put your eyes on Christ and run to him, not sit there and wait to be picked up, but run to him, you will probably fall on your face. But when you get back up, when he lifts you back up, you will be on the path that you need to be on. It may not be what you wanted to be on when you were in middle school. It may not be your parents' dream for you, but you will be exactly where you need to be if your eyes are on him. And so whether you've had a really heavy last few weeks or whether it's actually been pretty fine and you're like, I don't know what everybody's upset about, I want you to know two things, that you can rest in Jesus and find real rest, and that as you rest so that you can get back up and run some more, and run to Jesus. Not because he makes all of your dreams come true, but because his plans for you are better than your dreams. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for this truth that, I mean, I've seen it, and I've known it, and I've taught it, but I've just never put it together, God, that we rest so that we run. And we run knowing that we can rest. And God, there's just this beautiful circle where we have just this great teacher and coach and teammate and guide. And it's all you. You are the one that you fix us when we're broken and you pick us back up and you give us rest and you supply us all we need. And then as we're running, you're the voice that pushes us forward. And you're the one that coaches our every step. And you're the one that sets the path. And you're the one that runs beside us and before us. And then God, you even carry us. And so, Lord, help us to know that and to trust that and to lean into you. I pray that tonight would be a night of rest, that we would, in the car ride home, before we go to bed, God, not rest by blocking everything out and getting distracted and just blocking out what's bad, but instead, God, we would take what's bad, come to you and say, I can't carry this anymore, and find rest in you, not in distractions, in you. And God, that as we would rest with intentionality so that tomorrow we can run. I pray that we would be a place for rest, be a people of rest, but God, we'd also be known as people who run, and we run for you. I praise things in your holy name. Amen.